Okay, I want to welcome everyone to the call. I am John Jonas, and this is the call about how to replace yourself by hiring people overseas. Before I get started, I want to let everyone know about the PDF that is available so that you can follow along with some of the things that I will talk about on this call. It should be available on the page where you heard about the call, or it is available at replacemyself.com/PDF. Again, that URL is replacemyself.com/PDF. And that PDF will have some screenshots in it and some URLs that I'm going to talk about. Now, I have muted the whole call so that you'll probably just hear me talking for most of this. At some point, I may be able to unmute the call and take questions. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that, but I hope I will be able to. So the call is muted and it will just be me talking. Just so you know, I just Twittered this call, and I didn't actually do the Twitter. I had someone else do the Twitter for me, and this is the kind of thing that I'm going to talk about and teach you how to do. I'm going to talk about how to have other people do your work for you. So to get started with this, I want to tell you what I'm going to talk about today. This is about hiring people overseas, so I'm going to tell you where to hire people, how much it costs, how to pay them, what to have them do for you, how to find them, how to keep them busy. If you have hired people before and had a bad experience with it, this is going to be especially important for you. I've had a lot of feedback from people who have hired people in India. They tell me, I've tried that before and it didn't work. And when I ask, where did you hire someone, they almost always say in India, and I tell them that's the problem. This is specifically about hiring people in the Philippines, and I'll get into that a little bit more. If you've hired people before and had the problem of keeping them busy, I will teach you how to keep them busy also. I'll tell you how I can solve that problem for you, because that is very often the problem that I've heard from people when they've tried doing this, is either they hired people in India and it was a terrible experience, or they just couldn't keep them busy. So I'll solve both of those problems for you. So I want to start by telling you how I started living the 4-hour work week, or what I call now is the 17-hour work week, because that's much closer to what I actually work, is 17 to 18 hours a week. I've been hiring people overseas for about 2.5 years. And about a year and a half ago, I had just launched a subscription-based piece of software, which, if you've ever done something like that, you know that after you launch a product, people will find problems with it, and you have to fix them, and there are lots of support issues, and you have to fix them. Well, a week after I launched it, my wife got put on strict bed rest. She was pregnant at the time, and the doctor said, if you don't stay in bed, you're going to lose this baby. Which, for me, was a struggle, because we had just launched this thing. But I had to take care of my other kids. I had two other kids. I didn't have a choice. I wasn't going to lose a baby over money. And so at that time, I was forced to stop working. And fortunately for me, I already had people overseas. I was forced to turn everything over to them. And I just had to trust them with what they were doing. And I also have a partner that I turned some stuff over to. But the majority of my work, I turned over to the guys overseas. So if you're waiting to start hiring someone, for when an emergency comes, you're waiting too long. I was fortunate that it happened to me and I already had people. For you, you should be planning ahead at this point. Now, for the next 3 weeks after my wife got put on bed rest, I didn't work. I literally worked 1 hour for those full 3 weeks. I couldn't do anything else. All I had to do was take care of my kids. After she had the baby, I spent the next 2 months working probably 1 hour a week. And the reason I could do that was because I had already turned everything over to other people. And after those 2 months, or as those 2 months kind of went on, I started recognizing I don't have any responsibilities anymore. I have literally given all of my responsibilities to other people. And it came time for me to start working again. You can only spend so much time not doing anything. So as it came time for me to start working again, I started thinking about what I wanted to do and the lifestyle that I had been living. And I wanted to make sure that I was able to continue that lifestyle, but I still wanted something to do. So I started designing a business based around the 4-hour work week. I wanted it to be online. I wanted it to be automatable. I wanted it to be recurring, passive. It obviously had to work, and it had to be able to use my people overseas. Since that time, I have realized this really is the way to live the lifestyle you want. You can't not work at all and not have anybody do work for you and still continue to make money. Work always has to be done. It's just a matter of whether you're doing the work or whether someone else is doing the work for you. So then, outsourcing isn't just about big companies anymore. It's not just for business process outsourcing, which is what you've often heard about in the past, where you're outsourcing a whole section of your business, you're outsourcing a call center or something like that. This isn't about Dell or Walmart or Samsung. This is about you hiring an individual person to do your work for you. This is about me hiring someone to replace myself and do all of my work for me. You can train them to do everything you know. They work full-time for you. They only work for you. And they're a full-time employee that costs you, let's say, $250 to $500 a month full-time. This is a business expense, so it's totally tax-deductible. I don't pay any of their taxes or benefits or anything of the sort. So if you're making, let's say, six figures a year and paying someone $300 a month, your actual cost on that person after tax saving is somewhere around $220 a month. And after paying this, you know, $200 a month, you're actually paying to get things done. You're not paying for education or for ideas or potential or for a tool. This is paying for work action to get things done for you, which is very different than what most people will pay money for. Now, in talking about outsourcing, I want to tell you what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about using Elance.com or Guru.com or something like that. Elance definitely has its place, and there are definitely good uses for it. The problem with it is that when you hire someone to do something from one of those websites, once it's done, they're gone. You don't ever get to benefit from their knowledge again. If they learned something while they were working on your project, you don't benefit from that again unless you go out and put another project up and manage all the bids for it and select someone and give them details and whatever. You will never benefit from that person's knowledge again. So I'm talking about hiring someone who is going to work for you personally for a long time. You teach them to do something once, and then the next time you have to do that, they will already know how to do it. And my experience has been that most things you do once, you will do twice. This is probably about the 90-10 rule. Even if you think you won't do it again, you probably will. And so most things can and should be taught to someone else. And if that person is still working for you, the next time you have to do it, you don't have to teach it again, you don't have to do it again, you just have to say, do this for me, and it gets done. Now, I want to tell you why you're listening to me talk about outsourcing, because I'm not the expert on outsourcing. I'm not the guy who follows everything that goes on in the world about outsourcing. The reason I'm talking about this is because I've made over $1.5 million in the last 18 months directly from work that my guys overseas have done for me. Now, I understand that I'm not a multimillionaire. And to tell you the truth, I don't really care to be. I don't care to make $1 billion or whatever. I'm much more concerned about the lifestyle that I live and how much time I have to work to make my money. So, no, you're not listening to a multimillionaire talk to you about how I outsourced $1 billion worth of stuff. Another reason why you're listening to me teach this is because I've helped numerous other people do it already. I've helped people like Kurt Christensen and Scott Bolch hire people overseas and to help them succeed with it. I also continue to do it today. I think it's super important when you have someone teaching you something that it's something that they do currently and not something that they did in the past at one time or something that they heard about and now they're teaching it. This is something that I continue to do and so I continue to have experience with it. As I've continued to have experience with it, I've realized something that I want you to keep in mind as we go through this. The whole point of doing this, of hiring people overseas to replace yourself, to duplicate yourself, is about the lifestyle. It's not about the money. It's about being able to live the way you want to live, which is to work at home, to have enough money to provide for your family, to be able to take time off whenever you want, to be able to go on vacation when you want, to be able to help other people. It's about being able to stop working when my wife wants to go to the grocery store without the kids. This is about the lifestyle. If you're doing this just so that you can work more on other things, you just have a job. And you can replace yourself with one job for another job, but you still have a job. It might be high paying, but you're still working for it. So keep this in mind as we talk about replacing yourself. Your goal with this is to give as much of your responsibilities as you can to someone else so that you can not work, so that you can enjoy the things that you want to enjoy in life. So let's talk about how to duplicate or how to replace yourself now. You're going to do this, like I said, by hiring a full-time person who is going to strictly work for you alone, and you're going to teach them everything you know. If you think about the things that you do, my guess is that most of the things you do now can be taught to someone else, especially if the things that you're doing, you learned from someone else. You can teach most of those things to someone else and have them do that work for you. Or you can give the material from which you learned it to them and have them learn it that way. So if you've read The World is Flat or anything about outsourcing, you know that we have a new global economy today. And your job in this really needs to be a knowledge worker. You really need to be working based on your knowledge. You need to have the business knowledge, the process knowledge, the sales and marketing knowledge, the relationship knowledge. Your job is not to be building web pages or getting links or doing programming. Your job needs to be synthesizing and managing the knowledge that goes into all of those things, and then to have someone else implement it all for you. If you're spending your time doing things that someone else can easily and cheaply do for you, you're really wasting the biggest asset you have over the rest of the world, which is your educated brain. There is so much information out there, there's no way a single person can implement it all. I mean, everyone on this call probably has enough knowledge for 4 full-time workers to implement it, 4 or 5. Nobody ever complains about not knowing enough. They complain about having too many things to do. You know so much stuff that it would literally take you years to implement it all by yourself if you stopped learning now, which, if you stop learning as you implement those things over the next years, you're going to just fall behind, and you're going to fall farther and farther behind. So your job really needs to be a knowledge worker of understanding processes, understanding business, understanding information, synthesizing it, putting it all together, and then having someone else implement it for you. I want to tell you about the first time I ever did this, because I think a lot of you will have a very similar experience to the experience that I had. The first person I ever hired was a programmer. And before I hired them, I questioned whether I could keep them busy full-time and whether they could do as good of a job as what I was doing. I was a good programmer. I knew so much about it. I was good at it. But I also knew that if I was doing programming, I couldn't be doing something else. I knew there were tons of things that I should be doing, but I just didn't have time to do them. So I finally made the decision to hire someone, and when I did, it was the most liberating thing I had ever done. All of a sudden, I could give all of my programming tasks, all of the feature requests that people asked for, and I could give it to someone else, and I could concentrate on marketing. I could think freely. I could come up with new ideas and not get bogged down in the details because someone else was implementing it for me. And not only did I find that I had enough stuff to keep them busy full time and that they were doing a good job for me, I found that I had enough stuff to keep 2 people busy full time. And I had just replaced myself for the first time. There were basically 2 of me doing what I needed to do now. And I think that most of you will have a very similar experience when you worry if you can keep them busy, or you worry if they can do as good of a job as you can. And then when you get them doing it and you realize you have time to do other things now, that and things are still getting done for you correctly, it is amazingly liberating. Now, what I just said goes against a lot of the common wisdom out there, which says that you should be doing what you're best at. I think you should be doing what makes you the most money. Programming does not make money. Sales does. Getting links to your website or writing articles does not make you money. Making sales does. And so I think you need to be working on and focusing on the things that make you money and having someone else do all of the rest of the details for you. So the first two times I replaced myself was with programmers. The next two times I did it was with marketers. I hired people who spoke good enough English that I could teach them to do marketing tasks that I was currently doing so that I could focus on relationships and making sales. Now, I did this with straight-up affiliate products and offers, but it could have been with an online store or whatever you're currently doing. I taught the first one that I replaced myself with, the first non-programmer, to build a business that literally makes me $10,000 to $15,000 a month in profit. He did everything for it. All I did was show him, here's what you do next, here's what you do next, here's what you do next. All I was doing was being a knowledge worker. I had an idea. I had synthesized a whole bunch of information from a whole bunch of ebooks that I had read. I put together a plan. I started the idea. And then I documented what I wanted done and handed it off to the guy in the Philippines. And he built this entire business for me, which the result, actually a couple months later, was $4,000 to $5,000 a month. Within a year, it was making $10,000 to $15,000 a month in net income. And I just replaced myself again. So here's what your job is as a knowledge worker then. You study everything you know of. Ebooks, physical books, tutorials, blogs, DVDs, audios, everything you can study. You nail down the processes in your head. You understand exactly what has to happen and what you're going to do to make it happen. And then you hire someone else to implement it for you. Then you keep learning. Your job is to concentrate on relationships and plans and business issues, not implementation. So my guess is that everyone on this call has bought at least one information product in the past year and either read it or not read it, but not implemented it. From now on, you should never do this again. This should never happen to you. You can and should implement everything you ever learn by handing it off to someone else and having them do it for you. You read it, you understand it, you figure out how it fits in your business, and then you give it to someone overseas with more specific instructions of how it fits into your business, and it gets done. So I've been doing this for just over a year now when I realized that I could implement everything that I have. And I have implemented literally every single thing I've learned from the stuff I've bought. And I've probably bought 8 or 10 ebooks in the past year, and maybe 2 big box products, DVDs, whatever. I buy it, I read it, I watch it, I listen to it, whatever, and then I give it to someone else to implement it. And you would be shocked at how amazing implementation is. It's amazing the difference that it makes on your business when you actually implement things that you learn. All of the things that you learn in these ebooks and whatever, it all works. It's all really good stuff if you actually implement it. So I just give it to my guys. They do it. They might not do it perfectly, but they still do it. It gets done, and my business is booming because of it. So think about all of the ebooks you've ever bought, all the DVD courses, all the videos and audios and PDFs that you have access to, everything. Implement it all. So this is just one way to replace yourself, or I guess in a lot of cases, not even to replace yourself, but to add another one of you that never existed, the implementation person. Here's another way that you can replace yourself. We all have things we don't like to do. For some of you, it's probably building a web page. For others, maybe doing research. For me, it's writing copy and doing repetitive tasks. I hate writing copy. If I have to do it, I just won't do it. And if something is repetitive, I'll do it once, but I will never do it again. So now, anything I don't like to do, I do it once because it's fun to do it the first time you do it. And then I document how I did it, and I send an email to one of my guys saying, I want you to do this 2 times a week from now on, or whatever, once a day, or once a week, or once a month, and it gets done. And it gets done exactly how I want it done. And I just multiplied myself again. Something I would have had to do before, I don't have to do now. Something I probably wouldn't have done anyway is now getting done. I do the learning, they do the work. I start the project, I get bored with it, which I call this entrepreneurial ADD, and then I hand it off to someone else with specific instructions and they complete it for me. I'm willing to bet that most people on this call have this entrepreneurial ADD, where it's fun for you to do something. It's fun for you to start a project, finishing that, though, following through with it, is a different story. And my guess is that most of you have some online projects you started and never finished, either because you got bored with it or it wasn't working, and maybe because you didn't know how to make it work at the time, or you didn't have time to finish it. Well, here's your chance to finish it. Here's your chance to make it work. Here's your chance to figure out how to make it work and then have someone else make it work for you. You already know that the online space is getting more competitive. More people get into this every single day. And so the more competitive it gets, the more you have to stay ahead of the game. If you're not constantly learning new things, you're falling behind. And if you're not implementing the things you learn, you're falling even farther behind. And as more and more people start to outsource, if you're not doing both of these things, learning and implementing, the rate at which you fall behind speeds up every single day. At this point, there are really just two things keeping you from doing this. Number one, finding a good person. I'm going to tell you how to do that right now. Number two, keeping them busy, which at the end of this call, I will tell you how I'll solve that for you at replacemyself.com. Before I get into this, though, I want to see if there are any questions that I haven't answered. I'm going to unmute the call and see if we can take some questions. Okay, the call is unmuted. Any questions?
Hey, John, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you ever use any of these people in the Philippines to, like, follow up on phone calls, filter out your emails, more like a virtual assistant?
I have never used someone to do phone calls, and so I'm not sure how that would work, but yes, all of my email does get filtered for me, and I will talk about that in a little bit. Other questions?
Hey, John, this is Greg Shankin. My question is about, I'm sure you get asked this a lot and have to deal with it, privacy and sensitive information. How do you deal with that?
I'll cover that in just a little bit. Any other questions about what I've talked about up to this point? Yeah.
Do you use people in the Philippines to write content for you? And if you do, what's the quality of that content?
That is a really good question, and the answer is it depends. One of my guys, the guy who built the business for me that makes $10,000 to $15,000 a month, his English wasn't great, but I gave him a very structured way of writing the content, which that business is all about content. I gave him a very structured way so that his English skills didn't come into play as much. Another person I have, her English is great. And if you read something that she wrote, you wouldn't know that it wasn't written by an American. So this will totally depend on who you hire. And if you need to be super strict about how good your content is, I would suggest you're just a little bit more strict when you hire people. But you can get very good content from people in the Philippines. Any other questions?
When you're talking about hiring people full-time, do you typically have just like one or two, however many people working for you through that month, or does it constantly shift?
No, these are permanent people.
Gotcha. How many people do you have actually that are kind of on your roster?
Let me actually answer that in just a second. I want to move on here because I'm going to answer most of the questions I'm getting later on in the call. So let me mute this again, and then I'll keep moving. Okay, so let's move on and talk about how to actually get this done. I have 5 full-time employees working for me. They cost me a total of $2,375 a month, $2,375 a month. All of them are in the Philippines. I have 3 programmers. They all do PHP, one of whom also does graphics very well. And I have 2, content writers. They know how to pretty much do everything now, from affiliate marketing, SEO, social media, FTP, server stuff. They know how to do basically everything now. So they are all in the Philippines, and there's a very good reason. And some of you might think this is crazy, but in the Philippines, there is a culture of honesty and loyalty. The people there are super well-educated. They're super, super friendly. They are hard-working. They're smart. They really just want to make you happy as their employer. There is a cultural difference in the Philippines from anywhere else I've ever seen, where it makes hiring people overseas a different experience than anywhere else in the world. in the Philippines, they don't have credit cards, so they can't rip you off. If you hire someone here in the United States to do some work for you and you teach them how to make you money, the first thing they do is quit and go do it on their own. I've never had that happen to me in the Philippines. I have one guy who every month joins affiliate programs. He puts up pay-per-click campaigns to those affiliate programs, and at the end of the month, he sends me a report saying, I joined these affiliate programs, here's how much money I spent, here's how much money I made, are you happy? Well, yeah, I'm happy. I mean, I didn't have to deal with anything, and he made me money, and he doesn't have a credit card to go do it on his own, so I don't have to worry about that. That's a very different experience than hiring someone in most places in the world. It is also cheap in the Philippines compared to elsewhere in the world. They also have their own computers and internet access very often at home. So you can hire someone in the Philippines who will work from their home. You don't have to deal with someone else hiring someone for you if you don't want to. Where most other countries, and I've seen this very often in India, if you want to hire someone, you have to go through a service in order to do it because people very often don't have computers. They have to go into an office to do work. Also, because of the culture of honesty and loyalty in the Philippines, the question that I got about security earlier, my only answer to that is that I have never had to worry about it. I have never had a problem. I have two different people who have my credit cards, my bank account information. They have all of my usernames and passwords. They filter my email. The only thing they don't do is pay themselves. But other than that, they have access to basically everything of mine because I fully trust them. And obviously, I got to that point with these people, but I understand that the culture there is just a little bit different than everywhere else. And so security hasn't been something I've had to worry about. But it could just be a matter of time before I get ripped off. I doubt it, but it's possible. So here's another thing about the Philippines. They like America for the most part. So it is a bragging point for them to have an American boss. They get to talk with an American every day. They get paid directly by you. And this really is a bragging point for them to their friends that they're working for you. And so once they're working for you, they are unlikely to ever quit and go somewhere else unless they find something better. Which I had one guy who, he was a very good PHP programmer. He was making $550 a month. He found a job in Singapore making $2,500 a month. When he did, you know, I told him, great, that is awesome. Go make more money, whatever, you know. But someone making $400 a month, $500 a month in the Philippines is making a lot of money there. That's a very comfortable life. So that's also without paying any benefits. It's just straight up however much you're paying them. I don't pay any extra benefits. Now, these are all functions of the Philippines. And when I've talked about this in the past with people, I almost always get asked the question or have people tell me, but I've tried this before and I had a really bad experience. And they almost have always tried it in India. So I want to tell you why this is so important. The culture in India is different than in the Philippines. In India, they don't want to make you happy. It's not an honor to be working for an American. They want to get as little work done and get as much money out of you as possible. Now, I understand that I just offended a whole subcontinent saying they're not really honest and they're lazy and they don't do good work, but I've done this a couple times, and when I did this at the seminar in Costa Rica, there were two people there from India, and they came up to me afterwards and said, you know, now I understand why I've had such a hard time hiring people in my own country to do stuff for me. It just doesn't work. They don't want to do good work for you. So it's very important that as you do this, you go to the Philippines. Now, let me talk for a second about some of the problems you're going to find in the Philippines. Number one, there are power outages and internet outages often, I want to say weekly, where someone will have 4 hours of downtime because they didn't have internet access. They will almost always tell you, I'm sorry, sir, there was an internet outage. I couldn't work today. I'll make it up for you on Saturday, or I'll work late the next two nights and make it up for you. But you just need to be prepared that those outages are going to come. Also, there was a typhoon recently in the Philippines that significantly affected me. One of my guys didn't have power for 4 days. That was a full week of downtime for him. Another one's girlfriend lost her entire house. So that was another week of downtime for me. Now, I'm okay with it. I was more concerned about getting them back on their feet, but you just need to be prepared for those kinds of things. Another problem that I have seen is the productivity difference between you and them. So the way that I deal with this is that I look at how much I'm paying them, between $2 and $4 an hour, and how much my time is worth, which I consider to be significantly more than that. And even if they're not as productive as I am, which they're not, and they never will be, I'm okay with it. Even if they're 10 times less productive, I'm okay with it. Now, you need to figure out how you're going to deal with that productivity difference, because they won't be as productive as you are, but that's how I deal with it. Another productivity tip that I have for you is that the first couple people that I hired wanted to work at night, and they were working at night so they could be online during the day in the United States for me. Well, the first one, I figured out it just wasn't productive, and he couldn't work during the day in the Philippines, so I had to let him go because he was not productive working at night. The next one, when I asked him to work during the day at night over here, his productivity shot way up as soon as he did, and it was great. And so, yeah, he's not online during the day for me, and I don't get to talk to him very much, but that productivity increase was so much better that I think that's worth it. So I would suggest to you to have your people work normal daily hours instead of having them work at night so that they're online during the day for you. Also, I just remembered this, if you don't think you can afford to hire someone, here's a tip for you. Hire someone and split it with someone else who wants to do this. Find a friend who wants to hire someone. Both of you go together and hire someone to do the work and split their time. That way both of you teach them. That person will learn from both of your experience and both of your training. And now that person costs you half as much. So if you hire someone that it's going to cost the two of you $300 a month, it's really only going to cost you $150. $150 to have someone working 20 hours a week for you is very cheap. Now, I want to move on and talk about the kinds of people you can hire. You already know the kinds of people I have working for me. I have programmers and I have content writers who I have taught to do basically everything else. But you can find people with specific skill sets to just be a content writer, someone who has tons of experience with writing content, or with experience as doing SEO, search engine optimization, or someone to do your pay-per-click, or someone to be a webmaster, or to be a designer, or to be a programmer. You can find someone who does any language you want in the Philippines. I have also turned my guys into virtual assistants, so they'll do stuff for me. Now, when I gave them my credit card, one of the things that I told one of my guys was, I want you to buy me some ammo, some 9mm ammo. Here is my address. Here's my credit card. Don't spend more than $50, and I don't care what you buy. A couple days later, I had ammo at my house. I didn't have to do any research. It was awesome. Also, I had been worrying for months about my passport because it had expired, and I didn't know what to do about it, so I said, hey, I need to renew my passport. Can you tell me what to do? The next morning, I had an email that said, if your passport is expired, do this. If it's not expired, do this. And it was perfect step-by-step instructions. It took me like 40 seconds to renew my passport or to do the things I needed to do. And I had been putting it off for months because I didn't know what to do. He figured it out for me, and I was done with it. You can hire people of all skill levels in the Philippines. Most people will have graduated from college already, so you're going to have a hard time finding someone who's not a college graduate. But you can find people with zero experience up to... I found someone the other day who is the secretary of the president of the Philippine Stock Exchange. I found her resume. Available to be hired. I have a friend who I just helped hire an investment banking analyst. This is a guy with like 10 years of experience who in the United States would cost you $200,000 a year, and he's paying him $30,000 a year, and the guy is good too. He knows what he's doing. So you can find people that have any skill set you want. You just have to look a little bit, and I'm going to tell you where to look. So there are a couple different options of where you can hire people. You can go to Craigslist, manila.craigslist.com, and you can post, you know, a job offer and see if you get someone. There's a website called hirefilipino.com, which is similar. Now, I've tried both of these and haven't had much success with it. There are services that will hire people for you. This is where I actually got started with Agents of Value. So it's agentsofvalue.com. They will recruit people for you. You tell them what you want. I want a webmaster. So they will recruit them. They'll test them, meaning they'll make them take an IQ test and you get to see it. And if it's a programmer, they'll make them take a programming test and you can look at their code. They'll hire them for you. They have an office and a computer and an office manager. So they'll make sure that person is coming to work every day and they'll make sure that they're on task and whatever. They'll fire people for you if you need to fire someone. So I highly recommend using Agents of Value. They've been doing this for quite a while. It's an American company. You pay them, and then they pay the Filipino, so you don't have to deal with that either. They know how to make this transition a little bit easier for you because they've done it a lot. Now, the only problem with Agents of Value is that I think they have had an influx of people looking for people in the Philippines, and they can't keep up with the demand. And I've been told this a couple times recently, and I've seen it, where they don't have people for you to hire. And so if you're willing to be patient, they'll do a lot of the work for you. Otherwise, I'm going to give you some other options. So I recently heard about a site called VA4U, which is the letter V, the letter A, the number 4, the letter U, va4u.com. And I have never hired someone there, but I have looked, and there are quite a few different people there who have posted their skill sets in the Philippines, which it looks pretty good to me. You just have to contact them and try and hire them. The place where I have started hiring people, and this is within the last year, is at bestjobs.ph. This website is awesome. It's bestjobs.ph. What it is a collection of resumes of people in the Philippines who are looking for jobs. So they go there, they post their resume, and then you can search through the resumes. When I first found this, I was shocked at the amount of resumes on the site and the quality of people here, the knowledge that they have. So I want to give you an example of how I use this site. So if you have the PDF, which I talked about earlier, which is to follow along with this phone call, it's time to pull that out. Or if you don't have it and you're at your computer, you can get it at replacemyself.com/PDF. And there's a bunch of screenshots in it, and I'm going to go through these kind of quickly. So on the homepage of bestjobs.ph, you want to do a resume search. After that, the only thing that I want to change here is the resume date. I almost always search for a month or less, because I found that when I was searching through older resumes, I was getting people that weren't looking for jobs anymore, and so I was emailing people that weren't responding. Now, don't take this as a hard and fast rule, but if you're finding you're getting people that aren't responding, search a month or less. If you're not finding enough qualifications of people, then search older resumes. I also searched PHP programmer here. I think that's probably the common one that people are going to search for. The next page, you can see that I got results 1 through 20 of 372. 372 resumes that are related to PHP programming. And if you look at these, notice the experience on them. The first one has more than 10 years of programming experience. That's a lot of experience. The second one has almost 2 years of experience, and the third one has almost 2 years of experience. Now, the first one, I know that he said his salary is negotiable, but let's go look at one of these resumes, an individual resume. Look at the next page. Here's the individual resume, and I first of all, notice his English is pretty good, so you're not going to have a problem communicating with him. He has a bachelor's degree in he says, in e-marketing. So most of these people that have programming as their resumes, they will have technical degrees, and they all have bachelor's degrees. So this guy says he has 1 year of experience. Now, that 1 year is almost always out of college. He is currently unemployed. He wants 18,000 Filipino pesos per month, and he is looking for full-time employment. Now, let me explain the 18,000 Filipino pesos. when you're looking on Best Jobs and you see salary expectations and it says it has a number in the thousands, that is almost always in Filipino pesos per month, even though they don't say that. Here's how this works. The conversion rate right now is just over 40 Filipino pesos per dollar. Over the last couple of years, it's been as high as 50, it's been as low as 39. So when I do this conversion, I always do it at 40. 18,000 Filipino pesos means 450 US dollars per month. So this guy is available to hire as a PHP programmer for $450 a month. He has a year of experience, and he's going to work full-time for you. Imagine what you can get done with a person working full-time. Now, if you were to go to Elance and do this, you'd post your project. Someone would tell you that they want you to pay them $3,000. 3 weeks later, they'd deliver you the project, and you're done. And they're done with you, so when you have problems, you don't have someone to go back to. With this, if it takes them 3 weeks, you just paid about $375. And now when there's a problem or when you want something changed, you have someone working for you still, full-time. So let's go on to the next search that I did. I searched for English writer. That's a very common one. Now, I will suggest to you that as you hire someone, if it's not a programmer, look for someone with good English. Because you can teach other things. You can teach SEO. You can teach pay-per-click. You can teach marketing. You can't really teach English. You can, but it's not going to be that easy. So when I did this, I got resumes 1 through 20 of over 1,500 English resumes back. And if you read these, you'll see that they speak pretty good English, just as you look at the initial excerpt of their resume. Now, I went through all these, and I can tell you that resume 1 says that their salary is negotiable. I think that they also said that they have 10 years of experience in different kinds of writing. So they probably want quite a bit. Resume 2 wants 10,000 to 20,000 Filipino pesos per month, which is $250 to $500 per month full-time. Now, if you look at it, obviously their English isn't the best, but it's good enough to understand what you say and do an awful lot of tasks for you that you're not doing now or that you're doing now and you want to replace yourself with. For $250 a month, it's crazy. The third one, the technical writer and project manager, he says he wants 50,000 Filipino pesos per month, which is a lot of money. $1,250 a month, that's a lot of money. But this guy has 10 years of experience in project management and technical writing, and I looked at his resume. He was a senior technical writer for Dell and Samsung and a couple other companies. The guy has a lot of experience. For $1,250, that's really good. He also says he can do phone calls. So pretty good person. The fourth one there has better English than the second one, and they're asking for 16 to 18,000 pesos per month. That's $400 to $450 a month. My guess is if you contacted this person, you could offer them $350 and they'd take a job. They speak really good English, and they're going to be able to do a lot of work for you that you don't want to do. These are the kinds of people you can find on Best Jobs. And now that you know how to find them, there's really not a reason to not hire someone to do your work for you. So let me tell you how I use bestjobs.ph, the process that I use. I will go on and search for whatever I'm looking for. Then I will email probably 10 people with the same email. And I'll say, I'm wondering if you're still looking for a job. I have this job. I want you to do this and this and this. It is working online. I'm looking to start pay at this much. Please let me know if you're interested. The starting pay I will change based on who the person is or what their qualifications are in their resume. Of those 10 people that I email, I'm probably going to hear back from about 5 of them. This is just my experience. Of those 5 that I hear back from, I may email them a couple times, and I'll go look at their resume a bit more carefully now. And then I will pick a couple of them, 3 of them, 2 or 3 of them, to try and hire. I'll probably pick the best one that I like the best and say, okay, here's your first task, and I will give them a difficult first task. The other ones that I want to hire or I'm interested in, I'll say, okay, give me a couple days to make a decision, and then I'll get back to you. So while the one that I want to hire the most is doing their difficult first task, I have other people waiting. If that person does their first task, I'll hire them and let the other people know, sorry, I hired someone else. The reason I do this difficult first task is because I found that if I make a challenging task, something where they have to learn something, where they have to figure something out, half the people aren't going to do it, and I'll never hear from them again. And so if that person that I want to hire the most doesn't do it, after a couple days, I'll say, sorry, I'm not interested in working with you anymore. And I usually just won't ever hear from them again. Sometimes they'll respond and say, I understand. Then I'll go on to the next person and say, here's your first task. Let me know, finish it for me. And if I don't hear from them, I'll move on to the next one. Usually I've always found in the first three that I get someone that'll do the first task. So for this first task, some of the things that you might do are build a web page. You got to give them specific instructions of what you want in the page, but let them figure out how to do HTML or let them figure out how to do FTP or something like that. Build a web page, put it online, here's the username and password to my server, to my hosting account. Or you might have them set up an AdWords campaign of some sort. Or if it's a programmer, you might have them write a short script. And if it's, you can make it difficult, or if you're a programmer yourself, you can look at their code and see how good they are. These are the kinds of things that I have people do. I haven't had to have someone do the first task and they complete it and not hire them. So I haven't had to deal with paying someone who did something and I don't hire them. If I didn't hire someone who completed something for me, I would probably pay them for it. Pay them for, a week's worth of work. Pay them $50 or $100 or whatever. Once I have hired them, I will give them tasks to do, and then I'll let them do their work, whatever, and I'll pay them at the end of the month. I always pay people after their first month, and I make them send me an invoice so that every month I get an invoice from them, and that's what I know I need to pay them. I don't keep track of, I got to pay you on this day, or I don't pay on the first of the month, or whatever. After you've worked for me for a month, you send me an invoice, and I'll pay you. If you don't send me an invoice, I'm probably not going to pay you. And I only have one person I've ever had a problem with this, where he doesn't send me an invoice, and later he says, I didn't get paid from you from last month. I said, yeah, that's because you didn't send me an invoice. I told you you have to. So he sends me an invoice. Not a big deal. So that's how I use Best Jobs to hire people. You may find other ways of doing it. And if you do, I'd be super interested in hearing what you're doing. When you hire someone, you don't always have to stick with what they're asking for either. Just like in your country, salaries are negotiable. I one time had a guy who I found him. He had the skill set that I wanted, which was a rare skill set. And we worked out the employment details. And then I asked him, how much do you want to make? And he said, $1,100 a month. And I said, okay, I will find someone else. He said, well, how much did you want to pay me? And I said, $450 a month. He said, okay, that's fine. And he's been with me for 8 months now. So the salaries are negotiable, and what I will usually do is start them a little bit lower than what they're asking for, and then I'll raise it over the next couple months. So if they're asking for $350, I will start them at $300, and I'll pay them $300 the first month, and then $325 the next month, and $350 the third month, and then I'll keep them there for a while until I feel that they deserve a raise again. I want to move on here and talk about some tips. I have a whole list of tips here in front of me that I want to talk about that I have found will be helpful to you in keeping communication with your person. The first thing that I want to talk about is the daily email. And this is something that Agents of Value does really, really well, and I've had to continue doing it myself since I hired people outside of there. But I require my people to send me an email every single day. And the point of this, there's a couple of reasons for this email. Number one, it holds them accountable. They know that they have to send me an email at the end of the day. They have to work. And in that email, I tell them I don't care what you say or what you did during the day. I still want to get the email saying, I couldn't work today, or here's what I did today, or here's what I accomplished, or I didn't get anything done because I had a bunch of bugs that I'm working on and I can't figure them out. I don't care what you did. I just want the email every single day. And you'll find that your people won't send it to you, and you'll have to bug them again, and they won't send you, and you'll bug them again, but I can't stress enough how important this email is. If they have a power outage or an internet outage, they can almost always get to an internet cafe and send you an email, which I require of them every day except for the weekend. So that's the first thing that I would highly recommend you do, is require them to send you a daily email. Here's another reason why the daily email is so important to me. I hire people so that I can get things done and not have to think about them. If I have to think about communicating with someone, then that means they're always in my head. The daily email allows me to not think about what they're doing until they send me an email. And it interrupts me, and now I can think about them for a couple of minutes, give them feedback, give them tasks, give them whatever. Once I hit send, it's gone again. I don't have to think about it again until the next day when I get another email. So that daily email allows me to get things out of my head so I can think and focus on things that are more important. Now, I already talked about the difficult first task and the low starting wage. I give bonuses for good work. You'll find that as you get more into this and you give people more access to your stuff, they have a pretty good idea of what you're doing and your income. And so when my guys do good work for me and we make good money from it, I'll give them a pretty good bonus from it. When you're ready to hire other people, I suggest that you start networking. Ask them, who do you know that can do this and this and this? And I have done this a couple times. I've hired two people this way, and both times I asked, it took them a couple weeks, but they came back to me saying, I know this person, they can do exactly what you want. And they could, and they're good. Here's a couple ways how I keep in touch with my people. Number one, I use Jing. So I will record myself either using Jing or Camtasia. I'll record screen captures of what I want them to do. So I'll use Camtasia if it's something that I need to do that's super long, or I'll use Jing, which you can find at jingproject.com. I use Jing, I use it almost daily, and I will use it to give them feedback. They say, I did this, and I'll go look at it and say, here's what I think, here's what you did wrong, here's what you did right, here's what I'd change. And I'll record a little video and send it to them. I will use it saying, hey, I came across this new process, here's what I want you to do, here's an example. Send it to them. Or, this person did this, here's what I like, please do this for me. And it's done. It's super simple to do. It takes me no longer than it took me to actually do the feedback, because it's just recording a video. Jing uploads it to a server for me automatically, so all I have to do now is paste that URL into an email and send it to them, and work gets done. I will also record MP3s for people. And so in the PDF that you're looking at, the first URL there was jingproject.com. The second one is Pamela. I use Skype, a plugin for Skype called Pamela, to record MP3s for me. It's pretty simple. It does a good job. I'll use this when I have more than just a couple minutes of stuff to say. If I have half an hour of things to say, for example, we're starting a new project, and I want to give them an overview. I want to tell them this is what this is about, here's the concept behind it, here's where you can find more instructions, here, here, and here. This is the end goal, here's the short term, here's the long term, here's what I want you to do. I'll go through all of that and just record an MP3 and send it to them. I will also give them things that I buy. For example, when I wanted to start doing MySpace marketing, I didn't really know anything about it, but I went and bought an ebook specifically with giving it to one of my guys in mind. So I bought it, I read it, I sent it to him and said, do this, this is good information. So if you have ebooks that you already have bought, when you hire someone, send them all to them and say, read these, and it's an immediate education. I think it's important that you give people decision-making power also. The more power you give them, the more access you give them, the more control you give them, the less work you're going to have to do. Yes, they're going to screw things up. They're going to make mistakes. That's okay. You make mistakes too. But in this case, you can correct them. You know, they'll tell you what they did. They messed it up. Correct them. It's not that big of a deal. But when they do it correctly, then you don't have to deal with it. I've also found that this allows them to come to you with ideas. Recently, two of my people have come to me with some really, really good ideas of things that I hadn't thought about before, and it's because they had the power to make decisions. They also have figured out other ways of doing things besides what I told them to do. Recently, I asked one of my guys, said, what are you doing with this? And he said, oh, I do this and this and this, and then I added this part to it, and I'm doing this piece too. Awesome. That was so cool because I hadn't thought about that, and I figured it was getting done somewhat, but I didn't realize it was getting done so well. So here's another thing on my list. I use eMoneyGram to pay people. I tried a couple different ways of paying people. PayPal only recently became available in the Philippines, and it's not widely used. I tried Xoom.com, X-O-O-M. What I finally ended up settling on was eMoneyGram.com. This is owned by MoneyGram, which you can find in Walmart or wherever. I found it to be the cheapest and the easiest way of sending money. Another thing I have written here is customs. The very first thing that you will get back, the very first email that you'll get back from people will say, "Dear sir, I hope you have a good and blessed day. Blah, 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 here's what I did, blah, blah, blah. Thank you and God bless," and their name. Almost every single email I've ever gotten from someone is like that. And the very first time I got it, I started an email responding saying, "Please don't call me sir." And then I thought better of it. And I'm really glad I did, because every single email I've ever gotten since started that way. And I think it's important to leave that custom alone. Another custom you need to be aware of is the 13th month. This is important. In the Philippines, when someone works for you, I'm pretty sure it's legally required that after a year, you give them a one-month bonus. They call this the 13th month. If the person works for you for 6 months, you give them half of 1 month bonus if they leave you at that point. Now, I don't think this is required if you're not in the Philippines and they're in the Philippines, but it's something that they still expect. And so you need to be prepared for this when you've had someone working for you for a year. You need to be prepared to give them an extra month's pay. It's called the 13th month. Now, here's something I've done recently to deal with this 13th month. I recently sent two of my guys laptops instead of giving them the cash for the 13th month. It was really good for everyone. It cost me a little bit more money than the 13th month, but with that, my guys are now more productive for me because they have a laptop. If their power goes out at their house, they can go down to the internet cafe and use their laptop, and their work environment doesn't change. For them, it was great because they can't buy a laptop there for less than $1,000. These laptops here cost me $450 and then $300 to ship them together. And so, for $1,200, I shipped two laptops. It would have cost them $1,000 each. So that was a different way of paying the 13th month. For a task manager for them, or for project management, I've used a couple things. I've used Basecamp in the past, basecamphq.com, and I'm not really using that anymore. I do use Remember the Milk, rememberthemilk.com, and it is really good at doing recurring tasks. So I'll put in a task in. Like I said earlier, I'll do a video and say, "Hey, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it twice a week." So then I'll make it recur inside of Remember the Milk every Tuesday and every Thursday. And now that task gets done every Tuesday and Thursday. Another task manager that I've recently been using is called Active Colab, and I'll make that available to you at the end of this call. I have written down here in my list a daily email again. I cannot stress enough how important that is, that you require them to send you a daily email. Next thing I have is document what you teach them. When you teach someone something, put it into a system that when you hire someone else, you have that documentation there. And you can say, "Here's the documentation, go do this," so that you don't have to go do it again. Also, have them document what they're doing for you. They may find you may find that they're doing things a little bit differently than you taught them because they found out better ways of doing it. Have them document that stuff and send it to you, or put it into your system that you're using to document stuff. Recently, when the typhoon hit, I got really scared. If one of my guys would have been killed in that, there were over 100 people killed. If one of my guys would have been killed, I would have lost a lot of stuff. So after that, I made him go back and document everything that he's doing. Now I have that documentation, and if he were hit by a bus or something, that's what we say in the United States, I would have all of his work. And I told him I was really worried about it, and asked him to please document it, and I told him, "I have no intention of ever letting you go, but I need to have this for my own safety." The last thing I have here is to be the expert or don't expect much. If you aren't an expert at something and you give it the task to them, don't expect them to do it perfectly. Don't expect them to be the expert. I've found that if I give people tasks, the tasks get done. They don't always get done as well as I would have done them, but they still get done. When I am the expert, though, they can do the task and I can go back and correct it. And then pretty soon, they're pretty dang good at doing it. So I also have a list here of things that I have them do for me and things that you can have them do for you. And we're getting close to the hour, so I want to hurry up with this. I have them write blog entries for me, and not my personal blog, although I do know people who have outsourced workers do that for them, but blog entries on other websites of mine. You can have them answer support email or do research for you. Try sending someone a spreadsheet saying, here are the columns I want you to fill out. Please do this for this, 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 and this. Give them a list of things. Give them a list of keywords and say, how do these work? How competitive are these? The next day you have all the information in front of you. I'll have them join affiliate programs and put up AdWords campaigns. Now, again, I was the expert at that. I knew what I was doing, but now that's very profitable for me. You can have them write tips and tricks or maintain a frequently asked questions or, like I said, answer support email, and you can have them deal with all of your support. Have them do search engine optimization for you, submit to directories, do social bookmarking, do social networking, build a mini net, build a Squidoo page or lots of them, build a MySpace account or lots of them, do MySpace marketing, write comments on blogs, write comments in forums, submit to Craigslist, manage eBay listings, do Web 2.0 sites, Flickr, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, do video marketing for you, do Yahoo Answers, have them answer questions on Yahoo Answers and link to your website, use Pingo. There are so many things you can have people do for you, stuff that you should be doing that you're not doing now, or things that you are doing and things that you don't want to be doing, things that your time would be better spent elsewhere. So I've talked to quite a few people about this and gotten questions and answers, and I hope that at this point I've answered most of your questions, but right now I want to take some questions and make sure that I get everything that you want to know answered. So I'm going to unmute the call and see if I can take some questions. Okay, the call is unmuted. Any questions?
Hey, John. Got a question. What if I were to go hire somebody today, would you, from like day one, give them, say, your username and password to your hosting account? I know you said, you know, that you think that's important, but would you do it from like day one or something, or how would you break into it?
If I didn't have a hosting account that I could give to them that I have specifically for this, I would probably set up a username and password in an FTP username and password, which you can do that in cPanel. You can do it specific for them and just give that to them.
Gotcha.
Question. How do you test a PhD developer's expertise before giving them a big project?
Unless you are a PHP programmer, I don't really know. I'm a programmer, so I can tell by looking at some code they've written. Otherwise, I don't know because I don't have that experience. I always understand what they've done. You can ask them what they've done in the past and see if they've done good work. In general, the more experience someone has, the better they're going to be in programming. Otherwise, I don't really have an answer to that question. I'm sorry.
Good enough. Thank you.
Other questions?
John, do you actually just contact them through like email, or are your guys like on Messenger, or do you Skype? Are you using voice a lot, or what?
I've found that most often they use Google Talk or Yahoo Messenger. Now, I don't use Yahoo Messenger anymore, so I make them use Google Talk, and I make them sign in to Google Talk when they're working. I haven't found that they use Skype very much, which is kind of interesting. I've only talked to them one time, and that was when it was really crunch time. We had to get some stuff done by a certain time, and I had some explaining to do, and I didn't want to write it out. So when I talked to them, I found that one of the guys I couldn't talk to because his spoken English was too difficult, which I was really surprised about because his written English is really good. Another guy's English was okay, and the other guy's English was really, really good. I didn't have a problem with talking to him. Other than that, I haven't really talked with them, but I do use Google Talk and email a lot.
Gotcha.
Other questions?
Just another question. How do you decide if you're overworking or underworking? How do you figure out what type of workload to give them?
I tell them that I want them to work 40 hours a week, and then beyond that, I guess I don't really know. I've never had a problem with them complaining about over or under work. I think part of that is because I've tried to give them tasks that they can do on an ongoing basis so that if they have extra time, they can go back to that specific task. Or I give them a task that I say, when you have nothing else to do, go do this task. If they have too much to do, that means that things aren't getting done, and I know that from the daily email. Another thing I'll add to that is sometimes I will overwork them, and I don't mind it, and I don't think they mind it because I treat them well. There have been a couple times when I told them I have this thing and today's Monday and I have to have this done by Wednesday, and I don't care how much you have to work, get it done. And they will. They'll work all night long just to get it done, and then when it's done, I'll give them a couple days off or something to thank them for working so hard. They're really very hardworking and will do whatever you tell them to do. So, any other questions?
John, do you truly know that they're working full-time for you, or would they be working for multiple clients?
Do I truly know? No. But I'm pretty sure they are, and the reason I'm pretty sure is because I know the culture now, and I know they're pretty honest. Recently I had a guy that I was kind of questioning if he was working full-time for me. I know he had another job when I hired him that he didn't tell me about when I hired him. And so I told him he either had to work for me or for them, because I don't want you doing both because I know it's not productive. So he's working for me now. I was questioning him until he sent me an email saying, I'm sorry I can't work today because I have something in my eye and I can't stare at the monitor all day long, and I'm already taking medicine for it, so it should get taken care of very quickly. Please forgive me. That was kind of reassuring, unless they're really deceptive, which I don't think is the case. So, on the other hand, I guess I don't really care if they're working full-time. You know, if they're working 30 hours a week, I don't really care. As long as they're making me money, as long as it's profitable, which it is, I don't care. And that may be different for you. Everyone's different. But for me, as long as they're making me more money than I'm paying them, and I don't have to think about it, I think it's great.
In your communications with them, do you, I guess more of how you use your tone, is it very businesslike, or is it kind of, pat on the back and very friendly, how do you?
It's probably both. Every once in a while I will send them an email that says, how are you doing, do you like your job, you're doing a great job of working for me, thank you very much, and they will almost always respond, thank you, I'm great, sir. But most of the communication is probably, this is what I think about this, here's how you did this, here's a video of explaining this, or here's a little bit of feedback. That's how most of it is.
Gotcha. Thanks.
So I'd like Scott Bulch, if you're still on the call, you there? Scott may be gone or maybe muted. I want to tell you what Kurt Christensen had to say about this. I don't know if you know Kurt. He's a very, very good marketer. When Kurt found out that I was hiring people in the Philippines, he wanted me to help him do it also, and I did. And so here's what Kurt said. Hiring someone in the Philippines has been one of the best decisions I've ever made in my business. It freed up time for me to work on things that weren't getting done before, more important things like marketing and sales. It also forced me to document my business processes and forced me to document what's profitable in my business and what's not. I've never had to do that before. Now, this is just me interjecting here, but if you guys have read the E-Myth, you'll understand the importance of documenting your processes. So, back to Kurt. It has also helped me not waste time because I have to have something for my people to do. After hiring someone, though, I can now focus on research and traffic and conversion and be the thinker of the business and not the doer. It's amazing what leveraging my time has done for me. I'm paying $2 to $3 an hour and having them do tasks that are worth $20 to $30 an hour. He also said, the biggest problem is getting them to a baseline of knowledge so that when I talk to them, I don't have to explain every single thing. Getting to a common level of understanding is a big barrier to entry for hiring people overseas. I need a system that would help getting a person up to speed so they're more on the same level as I am. That would be super helpful. So I want to see, Scott, are you there again?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great.
What has been your experience with this?
Well, you know, in great part to your recommendation at one of our seminars we did together, Matt and I, who is part of our mastermind, we went out and hired through Agents of Value our first VA in the Philippines, and we got, you know, very lucky in that the first person we hired was extremely good and will do just about anything to keep him. He's just absolutely over the top when it comes to wanting to work for you. And initially we decided to split him because we weren't sure in the very beginning if both of us could keep him busy enough. And I think that that's one of the big challenges that a lot of people worry about is, well, am I going to have enough work? And it really comes down to getting creative with what you can hand off to your VA. The more creative you are, the more things you're going to think of that they can do for you, and your life gets easier and easier. I have had nothing but good luck with our VA. He interacts with us by Yahoo Messenger, and he is, just like you said, I mean, he is absolutely appreciative. He's more than willing to do anything and everything. If he has to miss work for a day, and we've had him for about, oh, I think 10 months now, if he has to miss work for a day, which has only been twice, he will come in and work on a Saturday. He'll work, you know, all night. He'll do whatever it takes to make up for it. And it's just been a really good experience. I think that to really maximize this, I could probably work up to the point where I would have, you know, two or three people full-time working just for me. And again, it all comes down to just getting creative with what you have them do. Recently, we've started giving him things like you talk about where you send a course over to him and say, learn this, get good at it, you know, and that's part of his job, and then implement it. I also have him do all the things that would make you absolutely scream and go crazy if you had to do them yourself. Like, I wanted to set up an account at all the major social bookmarking sites, which is like watching paint dry, you know, between doing the confirmations and sitting there filling the forms out all day long. I just turned it over to him, and the next morning he sent me an Excel spreadsheet with all my logins. I've done the same kind of thing with him in research. Like, I'd have him dig into detailed research, and I say, find out the frequency of this occurrence of this thing in this market over the last 14 months. And the next day, here comes a spreadsheet. So, and he is more than happy to do it. So I can't speak highly enough of the whole process, and I'm just looking forward to giving him more and more things to do for me, and then, you know, getting more full-time people just for myself.
What has been the biggest difficulty, the biggest problem?
It's seriously, the biggest problem is creating more work for him to do. It's not him doing the work. He will take as much as you can give him. In fact, he'll instant message us all the time. Do you have anything for me to do? I'm ready. I'm sitting here. What can I do?
Right.
So the biggest challenge is keeping him as productive as you can to fill up all his hours that he's available.
Right. And that, in general, has been the feedback I've gotten from other people who have done this. That's what Kurt said, too. It was getting them the knowledge, getting them the things to do, keeping them working. So here's what I've done. Now that you know how to do this, now that you know where to hire people, you know the purpose, you know that when you hire someone, you can give them the tasks that keep you from golfing every day, like me. The only thing keeping you from hiring someone is the pain of having to train them to be productive for you. It takes time to document your processes. It takes time to bring someone up to speed on an internet marketing business. Now you have to train them on things that you might not even know very well. And I have friends who have told me that they give someone a task, and that person comes back to them half an hour later with the task done, and they want stuff to do for the other 7.5 hours of the day, and it might take you 2 hours to teach them what to do for the next 7 hours, and you're a busy person. So what I've done to ease this is I've documented all of my processes. I've collected all of the trainings that I've given to my guys and put it together into a system. This is the training that I've used to have one of my guys build the business for me that makes me $10,000 to $15,000 a month in net income. It's the training I use for another one of my guys who every month joins the affiliate programs and bids on pay-per-click and sends me a report saying, here are the affiliate programs I joined, and here's the expenses, and here's what I made you. Are you happy? It's the training that I've used to implement video marketing and article marketing and social bookmarking, social networking, MySpace marketing, blogging, Squidoo, SEO, press releases, linking, mini nets, keyword research, everything. Everything that I've taught my guys, everything that I've given them, I've kept it all and put it all together into a system. In the training, I've included a whole bunch of info on how to hire people that I couldn't include in this call because I didn't have the time to fit it in. I have another audio that's about half an hour long, and there are a couple of videos that explain exactly how I do certain things that I've mentioned in this call. It's info that I think will save you hours of time and thousands of dollars. It's literally material that I've spent hundreds of hours on, and I'm offering this system to you guys today for $4. And the reason it's $4 is because I'm also including two seminars that we've done, two full two-day marketing seminars. We've invited the absolute best marketers we know of to come and speak and teach their tactics. This includes Kurt Christensen on AdWords, Mr. X on affiliate marketing, David Bullock on testing, Keith Baxter on traffic, Amit Suneja on copywriting, Andrew Locke on eBay. These are the best people I know of teaching internet marketing. And the reason I'm including these two seminars, which are worth $2,000 each, full videos on them, is because number one, you can benefit from it, and number two, your person in the Philippines can benefit from it. You give them the seminars, and after a couple days of watching the videos, they'll have a pretty dang good education. I'm also giving you the seminars to bribe you to try this, because I know the training I have is going to help you do this. The first module I have is designed to help you hire someone quickly and to get them up to speed quickly so you can start replacing yourself. If you're not replacing yourself, you're falling behind. And if you're not replacing yourself and hiring other people, at some point, you're going to find yourself on the wrong side of outsourcing, the side where you've been replaced by someone else and you're no longer making money. So again, all this training I'm including, which is the training I've done for my people, I'm including extra audios and on tips and tricks on how to hire people, videos I've done on how to use bestjobs.ph exactly, how I use eMoneyGram to pay people, which it took me a while actually to figure that out. It took me a couple days, and finally doing it this way, I've never had a problem with people getting their money. I'm also including a list of all the tools I use to run my business. It's a list of tools that you can and should use to train your people and to manage your relationship. I'm including videos of how I use these tools too, and the two seminars. All this is literally worth over $5,000, and you can try it today for $4. And the reason it's $4 is because I want to pay for my bandwidth of you downloading my seminars. Because there are over, 27 hours of video from the seminar, so that $4 covers that. After the $4, you can try the system out for 14 days. If you don't like it, you can keep everything I've given you, which includes... the one thing I didn't mention is the business in a box. I call this a business in a box because it's something you can give to your guy after you hire him. And since I know you're busy, obviously your goal is to become unbusy. You hire someone and you give them a link to this business in a box, and it's a business they can start today. It's all the training for them to do this business so you don't really have to be involved, and they can start making you money. Now, I'm not going to make any income claims from this, but I'll tell you it's profitable for me, and it's the training that I gave to my guy. I know it's also very similar to a training that Kurt Christensen gave to his guy, and he told me yesterday that it pays for his guy three times over every month. So that's the business in a box, and that's also being included with this. All this stuff is $4. After that, every single month, I will teach your guy to implement a new marketing technique for you. I will send you videos, audio, written material, screenshots, whatever it takes to train your guy how to do a different marketing technique, including all the stuff I've trained my guy to do. How to do article marketing correctly, video marketing using YouTube and Google Video, how to do SEO and how to do it correctly, unlike a lot of the stuff you'll learn online. How to do social bookmarking and social networking and MySpace and Twitter and Flickr and Furl and Spurl, and how to build a mini net, how to do blogging, how to do keyword research, how to use keywords, how to do linking correctly. Every month, I'll implement a new marketing technique for you that you can give to your guy and he can do the work. And like I said earlier, when you actually implement things, it is amazing how effective those things are. Also, as I buy more products, and I buy plenty of things, I will teach your guy how to implement those tactics that I learn. I'm going to teach my guy. I'll teach yours, too. All of this is $4 for the first 14 days. After that is $97 a month, which I think is a pretty fair price for not having to train someone overseas on different marketing techniques that you don't even have to know or understand. This can be the combined knowledge of your knowledge plus my knowledge in training your guy. Also in this, I'm including access to Active Colab, which is the project management software that I'm using to keep track of my guys. It costs $200 to buy it, but I bought it for you, and I will host it for you, so you have a place already set up where you can manage the projects you're working on, and a place where you can store all your documentation, so you don't have to come up with that system. I've done it for you. So $4 for the first 14 days to pay for my bandwidth. If you don't like it, cancel, and you can keep everything I gave you. Keep the business in a box, the seminars, the audio, video, whatever. After that, it's $97 a month, and you'll have a new marketing technique implemented for you. Now, if you don't know anything about internet marketing, I think this is a great way to get your person going. You don't have to be the expert. You don't have to know what you're doing. I'm providing the knowledge for you. So the URL where you can sign up for this is replacemyself.com/trial. Again, replacemyself.com/trial. Oh yeah, one last thing. I'm also including in this a shared membership to bestjobs.ph. Best Jobs costs about $35 a month to be able to get access to people's email addresses, and I'm providing you access to it so you can start hiring someone right away. Otherwise, when you browse the site, you can't see people's email addresses and you can't email them. So you'll get that with your Replace Myself membership. I hope this call has been helpful to you. Again, the URL to sign up for the $4 trial is replacemyself.com/trial. replacemyself.com/trial. After you sign up, you'll see that every month a new page will show up for you, and your guy can log in every month and get his training, and you don't have to be involved in it at all. So, just a warning about this, the site is still very rough. This wasn't something I had planned on giving people until just a few days ago. I had just planned on teaching this stuff, and then as I talked to people about it, I realized that people really, really needed the training I've done. So just keep in mind that it's still very rough because I didn't intend to offer this people until just a few days ago. Again, just to end, I hope this has been helpful to you. For $4, I'll train your person and give you the extra training I couldn't fit into this call to help you get started hiring someone as quickly as possible. All of it's worth well over $5,000, and you can try it for $4 because I'm so sure it will be helpful to you. Again, the URL, replacemyself.com/trial. I hope this has been helpful, and if you have any questions, please email me. Email me, and I will try and answer anything I can. My email address is johnjonas@gmail.com. Thanks for being here, and I will talk to you later.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.